gets colder. My eyes go thin as I get older. Piece in pieces, bloody and bruised. I feel so helpless and confused. Cause I hear screaming on the left, yelling on the right. I'm sitting in the middle trying to live my life. Cause I can't stop the wall.
Good afternoon. This is Evelyn Pringle. Welcome to Focus on the Facts. Today we're going to discuss the Pizzagate scandal again and the involvement of the Clinton Foundation, the DynCorp Corporation, Jeffrey Epstein, George Soros, and the NGOs in the global human trafficking and organ trafficking networks. My guest today is George Webb. His ongoing open source investigation has exposed a criminal network of high-level government officials and corporations that have been creating crises and manufacturing wars all over the globe for many years. He has created a video series on YouTube that investigates the crimes and scandals surrounding the Clinton Foundation and its many donors. I consider George's investigation, out of all the investigations into the Pizzagate, is the most important research out there right now. I've posted many of his articles and videos on my Facebook page and Twitter, and people can refer to them during our discussion or afterwards. I'll bring George on now and have him explain what drew him into this investigation. Welcome to the show, George.
Hey, Evelyn. You're quite the hero in the investigative reporter realm, so it's great to talk to you and be on your show.
Well, I'm so excited to have you. I just last week we were going to have it, and then your phone went out, right?
Yeah, and today I had my challenges as well, so I don't know if the gremlins in Fort Meade, Maryland, are having fun with us or not.
Okay, and we're taping the show early, so that, and I didn't put anything up advertising that you were going to be on. I'll do it afterwards. But anyhow, yeah, tell people what got you into this investigation. I mean, I know, because I've watched all your videos, and they are so good, and I couldn't have followed this investigation if it was written out. The way you do it on your videos where you have all the pictures up there and you point to everything, it is so good. But tell everybody what got you into this investigation.
Sure. Well, I tend to just kind of follow the news like everyone else until you see something that really gets you and says, wow, that's not right. And what really, everyone... election, and then they followed the DNC leaks, and then that exposed a lot of corruption. And then the WikiLeaks, when they came out with the 650,000 emails on Anthony Weiner's server, that was also troubling. But then there was an article in True Pundit right before the election saying this captain, or this chief of detectives of the New York Police Department, who has been there 40 years, had said that on those 650,000 emails, there was child trafficking, child exploitation, bribery, extortion, all these things. And about the same time, the ex-CEO of the Clinton Foundation, there was a rumor that he had tried to make for the Russian consulate in New York City to try to do like Snowden did, escape. So that's when I picked up the series. So that's day one in my series. And what I've done is just follow it all along. And as you mentioned, I have these researchers that help me. And every day we just add more sources and citations. It's an open media research project. And we've uncovered a lot of things.
Well, I'll see. I mean, you started out the series was named Where's Braverman?
Mm-hmm. Where's Eric Braverman? Because he was the CEO. Mm-hmm.
Right, and you started following the lines of oil and drug trafficking and things, but mm-hmm. then it branched out, right? What you found at the end.
Yeah, well, about, I say, so if you follow these rat lines in war, the armies are brought in normally to clear land for some type of pipeline or at least some kind of rat line where you carry the oil, in trucks and so forth. So if you follow those, you end up exposing these other trafficking things, like the sex trafficking and the drug trafficking. I was looking more at the arms trafficking, And the Pizzagate folks came to me and said, you cannot ignore this anymore. You're ignoring a huge part of this, of these kids from Syria being taken from these little orphanages down to the Middle East and kind of being married off to these kings of the Middle East, UAE and Qatar and Kuwait. So that's where I got into it, really reporting on that piece. And then the drug trafficking is really more in the in Haiti. I started following Haiti. And the one common thread through all of this through was Soros. And it was this company called DynCorp, D-Y-N-C-O-R-P, like Dying Corp. And it's almost a pun, DynCorp.
Right. And so what you found with them, DynCorp?
Well, it's going to be up your alley of expertise. I know you've done a tremendous amount with the CDC and vaccine research and viruses and so forth. You're going to find that the Haiti, DynCorp's also in charge of that. So they're in doing the spreading of the viruses. You're going to also find them in Colombia. They're also in charge of eradication of drugs. But it's almost like they're eradicating their competitors but keeping their own field safe. So it really is this worldwide, I think they're in something like 40 countries, where they provide police services. They also do the maintenance of helicopters and aircraft, and then they also do this vaccines. So if you think about it, it's almost like the CIA's black budget. You know, for you need the helicopters and planes to move the drugs, and that you can move the kids with that as well. And then you're doing the vaccine testing and the virus testing. And to top it all off, by sponsoring or being in the same place as these UN peacekeepers, you have orphanages and hospitals. So that's the sex trafficking and the organ harvesting as well. So you really have a whole, it's all one thing. Wherever DynCorp is, it's all these things together.
Right. Well, that's what I said. I forget who I had on and we were talking about this, and I said, it is all tied in to one huge, grand war profiteering scheme. You know, everything. But, you know, I wrote about war profiteering all back in the 2000s. I wrote a bunch of articles on war profiteering. But, you know, I never got this far. I never got to the human trafficking that was going on or the organ trafficking. You know, this was early on after the Iraq war in Afghanistan. I mean, so, I mean, I just never got this far. That I realize this, that they're moving as many human beings and organs in these countries as they are arms.
Yeah, it's actually far more profitable. If you look at, and there's different people that price human organs, but hearts go for about 150 to 200,000, livers go for about the same. Kidneys can be up as 250,000. Bone marrow, blood, the blood.
Or a kidney?
Yeah.
Pardon,
yeah.
I'm sorry. How much for blood?
Well, the blood is sold by the gram, and there's 453 grams in a pound. But it's something like $2,200, you know, some ridiculously high number. It's maybe $200. I should go to my slides. But with that many grams in a pound, it's just the amount and the body, the person can be dead and you can still recover the bone marrow for up to 17 days out of their bone marrow. So this whole thing is really the ROI of war. It's the spoils of war. And just like a farmer would calculate what his standing herd is worth for the day he goes to slaughter, I'm convinced that the Department of Defense and the CIA, being the intelligence arm of the Department of Defense, it goes through that calculus for every country that they take over and occupy.
Really? Oh, man. This is so sick. This is just... I mean, and I watch your videos, and this goes back. In Haiti, now I'm convinced they caused that earthquake. I'm convinced they did that on purpose. And then they go in there, and they take over that country, And they make it all over. They use all the money to, you know, like you were explaining, they build hospitals, they build, you know, these resorts. And it sounds to me like the rich people go down there to get their transplants.
Yeah. So if you, well, I believe it is true. I have identified one hospital that has been a long time, a guy by the name of Dr. Guy Theodore, who was an Air Force colonel at the Little Rock Airport in Arkansas way back in 1982 when Bill Clinton was governor. And I don't know if you remember in the 1980s, there was a huge scandal with blood being tainted with HIV through the Red Cross. But a lot of that blood...
I didn't know that till recently, but yeah, go ahead and explain about that.
Yeah, well, a lot of that blood came from the Arkansas State Prison System. And a lot of it went, the Red Cross blood went to places like Haiti and Central Africa for, you know, when they had emergencies or earthquakes and so forth like that. But Dr. Theodore went down to Haiti and does heart transplants in a place called Pinho, which is in the north part of Haiti. You know, George Soros is there in 1998, going through with Hillary. Hillary really, especially in the second term of Bill Clinton, 1996 to 2000, she really is kind of the shadow secretary of state, going all around to, you know, Bosnia and Kosovo, Haiti, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, and setting up this whole network. It's almost like she's setting up her... you know, her businesses to run for the next, you know, for president, you know, setting up her Senate run and setting up her presidential run.
Right. And they tore up the Balkans, and that's what they did in those countries too, isn't it?
Yeah, I call it the chocolate chip strategy. The old, you break off a piece on the edges and you keep doing that until there's nothing left. The old Soviet Union, that was the strategy of Alan Dulles, who ran the CIA, and his brother ran the State Department, was, oh, we'll break off Azerbaijan and the, you know, the Baltics and so forth, and pretty soon we'll have all the resources in those countries. Well, that's exactly the same strategy that was used in Bosnia first in the early 90s and then Kosovo in the end of the 90s. It's the same strategy you're going to see in Africa, where Rwanda is first taken over, and then you break the Congo in half, and then you break the Sudan in half. The same plan was for Libya to break it in half. They just decided to go ahead and take the whole thing. And the same strategy for Syria was to break it in half and establish a rat line first, and then take over the second half. And you're going to see the same thing in Haiti. When the earthquake happened, they divided the country basically in two, the poor section to the south, and all the investment went into their small area, the top of Haiti, to the north.
Right. Now, what do you think happened with Braverman? He didn't know about all this going on? And then when all the emails came out, did he figure it out, that he didn't know about all these donations and arms deals that those weapons were going to IS? But with Braidman,
You're talking about Christopher Stevens, the ambassador,
right.
And he did know the Stinger missiles were going to Syria after Gaddafi was toppled. I believe that he did know that. What I don't think he knew, and I think he discovered, was that the sarin gas was going to Syria. And there's a lot of gas attacks that occur in Iraq. I don't know if you remember when ISIS seemed like they were unstoppable, and they went all the way to the outskirts of Baghdad, and no one could stop them. They went, you know, in like 5 months, they took over all of Iraq to establish the rat line there. That was all Gaddafi's sarin gas, and then they came back and attacked Aleppo, and they did a couple of attacks. And it's been, the UN report came out and said it was Gaddafi's gas, and there was a famous lab in England called Porton Down that has been involved in chemical weapons forever, and they certified that it was Gaddafi's gas. So the key question I asked early on in the series was, does Eric Braverman, who's the head of the Clinton Foundation at that time, know that Hillary's doing these types of things? he kind of said this is the last straw. You know, he teaches at Yale. He's a professor. He teaches ethics and government. So,
yeah, that's,
you know,
funny.
That's a tough position to be in at the Clinton Foundation.
So he figured out that Hillary was supplying that gas and going to frame Assad with saying that he did that to his people?
I don't know if he knew that, but I definitely think that they did the same sort of thing, a land clearing operation in Morocco and then the Western Sahara. And the Western Sahara is contested between Algeria and Morocco. Well, the King of Morocco gave $28 million, basically $12 million directly and $16 million through a surrogate for Hillary to come down and legitimize their government and their takeover. Now, this is a king of Morocco, so if you speak against the king, it's 5 years in prison. If you do anything like, you know, paint a sign, you can be beheaded. And I think Braverman just said, okay, that's one bridge I can't cross. I cannot go down to, you know, Morocco and be seen. And so that's when I think he backs out of the Clinton Foundation. And I think Hillary ends up not going either. She sends Bill Clinton and Chelsea because it looks so bad, because she's about ready to announce for the president, to run for president.
Right, right. Now, all these emails, there's lots of emails that aren't out yet, right?
650,000.
Right, yeah. Right. Is that where all those arms deals are going to be in?
I think all those deals are going to be in there. Now, they normally would speak in code. So there's 19, what we do know is there's 19 different people at the State Department with Gmails that are in those emails. If you believe the chief of detectives of the city of New York, there's all those other things that I mentioned earlier. And I think he mentioned there was about 500,000 that were classified, although I don't know how he would know that unless there was some kind of marking or something like that. But we do know that also that between Huma Abedin and Hillary, through another FBI document that's been released, there was at least half of the 2,000 emails were classified. So we know there are classified emails in there. We also know that in order to take over Libya and take over Sudan and take over Syria and take over something called Maghreb, which is really Morocco, there was another Clinton associate that was sending classified information. And we know that those emails ended up at Sid Blumenthal, who's Hillary's closest surrogate. So we know that there's a lot of emails going around that are classified. Now, the ones that we've seen that are published between this guy named Tyler Drumheller and Sid Blumenthal, those all have to do with war planning. They all have to do with, you know, the oil is over here and this tribe over here and that tribe over there. We should get them together and we should attack here. And they're all kind of war fighting plans. So we don't know if the sex trafficking is in there. We don't know if it's coded information. And we don't know if the organ harvesting is in there. But we do know that going back to previous people that she's worked with and done overthrows with, the current president of Kosovo, it's a guy by the name of Thaci, T-H-A-C-I, Thaci. He was actively and is actively involved in organ harvesting. And so if, you know, leopards maybe don't change their spots, and if it's that incredibly profitable to do sex trafficking, and obviously there's a movie called... I'm not thinking of it right away, but it was a woman police officer in Kosovo that blew the whistle on. It was called Whistleblower, of course.
She blew the whistle. That whistleblower. Yeah. I never watched
that. She blew the whistle.
Yeah.
And that was, what my series tries to do is tries to show this pattern between Kosovo, where it kind of got started, to then all the Central African republics, to then the Northern African republics, to then oil kingdoms, then to Haiti, in that pattern, tries to establish that pattern. And then the other piece of this is DynCorp is very active in the United States. A lot of the soldiers that teach these police forces, these UN police-keeping forces, come back to the United States as sheriffs in the United States, in the 3,000 counties in the United States. They are also suspected of drug trafficking, child trafficking, or not organ harvesting yet. I have no proof of that, but definitely drug trafficking and sex trafficking.
Right. Now, this, Haiti, this Jeffrey Epstein, now, he really is in the middle of this, isn't he? I mean, before I just, I didn't realize that he was so big into this sex trafficking, but they're using that island of his, aren't they, down there in the Virgin Islands?
Oh, absolutely. So for those who don't know Jeffrey Epstein, there's two cases in New York where he used to have these kind of underage sex parties where he filmed people with low-light cameras. And then he has one case in Florida, in West Palm Beach. So the number of what they call Jane Does, because they don't want to give the names of the girls involved, is 102 in one case, and it's up to 40 in another case. So these are not small-time operations. Well, Jeffrey Epstein also has this island at the end of in British Virgin Islands at the end of Puerto Rico called Little St. James Island. And there, the West Palm Beach raided that location, and then they found all these low-light cameras, and they found all these, pictures scattered all over the coffee table of all the different girls and so forth. And they found, the various weird art, the same kind of art that was in Podesta's, bedroom and so forth, which always seems to go along with this kind of youth pedophilia. So, yes, and he's a DynCorp employee. He's got DynCorp helicopters. He's got DynCorp planes. He has a big ranch in New Mexico hidden away to do the same thing. So he's kind of got an East Coast franchise and a West Coast franchise.
Yeah, that was funny when it came out. It was like Hillary Clinton involved with him, then Bill Richardson out there in was that New Mexico where he has that ranch?
Yes.
All these friends of his, and there's two, three of them that are running for president.
Yeah. Well, and the other piece of this is the company that owns DynCorp is Cerberus Capital. Now, some people make Cerberus Capital, it's their logo is the three dogs. Cerberus was the three-headed, dog that guarded the gates of Hades. Okay, so and Steve Feinberg is the guy who runs that. He's looking at being Trump's chief economic advisor. Now he might not do it now because there's been a lot of this kind of series that I'm doing is kind of exposed a lot with DynCorp. But yeah, this goes to the highest levels. And the thing that people don't, there's a lot of sex trafficking cases that are coming to light now. There's 400 in California, and then there's one every day all around the world. And as the light comes shining, as the sunlight comes in and disinfects the situation, they have no choice. They have to arrest the lower-level people in order to protect themselves. You're seeing this wave of child trafficking arrests all around the country because the child trafficking is done by the gangs. It's not done by the actual DynCorp people. And that's the good thing that's happening right now is these schemes are being exposed. Now, it's not getting the higher-ups, but in no way is this an individual phenomenon. It's an organized event hierarchically from the top, from DynCorp.
Right. We keep seeing reports, that there's going to be all these arrests and things. And I get my hopes up, but I finally, when I post it, it's like I'll believe it when I see it. But they're not getting away with this time. If this continues, if we let this go this time, this should have been blown open back in the 80s when Bush Sr. and them were in the White House. This should have been blown open, and it wasn't, and it has went on since then, and it is far worse now than it has ever been. I mean, back then, it probably was half the congressmen or something involved in this. Now it's all of them. I don't think there's anybody in Washington that isn't involved in this, that's in politics. They're compromised before they go in now.
Yeah. Oh, right, because they're not promoted unless they're compromised first. But there's a few guys that got there that I think, like a Ron Wyden on the Democratic side, and I think Charles Grassley on the Republican side. Jason Chaffetz in the House is been good.
Is he good?
I can't pick. Yeah, yeah.
It's hard for me to, you know, I don't know anymore. But yeah, Chuck Grassley, yeah, he's.
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, you could tell by how they word their letters, you know, and how tough they go after somebody. Now, somebody to me, it looks like they've talked to Chaffetz and said, okay, that's enough, which is why my group's investigation is continuing. And the good piece of this is because of the power of the Internet and because of the power of Google, it's actually better. It's better when you have a bunch of people all around the world helping together in a project than what something like the CIA has, because those people are all in the same building. They're all looking at their own intelligence that's been produced internally. And there's a guy by the name of Steele, a CIA agent, says the same thing, verifies this. He's the one who set up the intelligence service for the Marines. Because they're all group thinking and they're not checking all their information against open source information, a lot of their information is bad. So we actually, in our group, in our intelligence collection, have a chance to verify. And so we get a piece of information, we cross-verify it with something else, we triangulate it then, we look at five or six other articles, and you end up getting to the truth quicker and to valuable intelligence quicker than you would if you were inside the analysis lab at, you know, in Langley, Virginia, or McLean, Virginia.
Right, right. Well, you know, all these kids are going missing in Virginia. Have you seen the videos out on that? They investigated all the other states. You know.
Yeah.
Are they using them tunnels underneath Comet Pizza in Washington? Are they using them tunnels for this trafficking?
Oh, there's no question in my mind. You know. So going all the way back to when, you know, Russia first exploded the first nuclear weapon, they had to write a plan for getting the president out of Washington. And the plan always was to go up to Camp David, and then from Camp David, there's some way of getting them in the hills of West Virginia. That was always the evacuation plan. So they had to have a tunnel, and they even exposed some of the tunnel when it was obsolete and it became a freeway in Washington for a while, and then it got covered. Yeah.
Okay.
It got covered up, and it's around DuPont Circle. So the tunnel has been exposed. There's several tunnels going in several different directions, and there's a trolley, you know, just like the trolley you see when the senators go to vote from the Senate office building. They have to get a trolley over to the Capitol. It's the same exact system. But the Comet Pizza lies directly on that line. So a senator meeting with a, let's say I was an oil executive in Syria, let's say it was Genie Energy, and I was in meeting with him about, you know, trying to take over Syria. I could get in the Senate trolley, take it all the way to Comet Pizza. Now, there's the last little bit has been filled in now, but I could definitely do that and, you know, celebrate our deal, you know. So I think, you know, that whole neighborhood in Northwest Washington is basically CIA. You know, it always has been, you know. It's been infiltrated a little bit with real people, but for the most part, and I don't want to say bad things about all of the CIA because there's so many good people at the CIA that want to see this cleaned up.
Are there good people that want to see this end? I mean, they're so entrenched in it, the CIA. How can they not?
Yeah. I'm sorry about getting dropped. It's funny because every interview I've ever had has been dropped.
I know.
Right in the middle.
And every time I do an interview on Pizzagate, which has been pretty steady, that gets cut off. I mean, one time both our phones got cut off and the Internet got cut off at PRN for 2.5 hours. And so that's why I tried taping them early. But then last week, what happened with your phone? So now this just happened again. But go ahead. But I want people, my listeners, to understand how thick this deal is with this Jeffrey Epstein's involvement in all this, and how, you know, how many people do you think that he got on film when he was filming? And it seems funny to me. How come, you know, he's doing this, but then he entraps, he gets all these top CEOs and top politicians and stuff. Why doesn't something happen to him for taping these people?
Well, I think there's kind of a pact that you do. If you want to go to the next level, let's say you're a state senator somewhere, and you want to go to the next level, you have to go out to Jeffrey Epstein's island. If you are doing a deal in some remote country for an oil deal, and it's going to involve illegal arms, you're going to have to go out to Jeffrey's island. And it's just something they do almost as informally or formally as a handshake in order to do business with the Clintons and the George Bush family as well, before them. But there's going to be a different person for George Bush. It's going to be more the Secret Service. But just Jeffrey Epstein is the Clintons' intermediary for having enough blackmail to make sure that this deal is not going to go south. And they've got thousands of deals that they've done, so I would imagine they've had thousands of visitors. And where Jeff Epstein gets involved, having the plane, a lot of these planes fly in. There's no checking of customs. They have diplomatic passports. They can bring in girls. They can bring in guys, you know, from the Johns. They can bring in the weapons. They can the drugs. I mean, you really can do it all. So it's a one-stop shop for DynCorp, and so that's why he's never brought to justice. A lot of people have sued him, but he has some very powerful legal help, and so he just has never really paid any consequences for it.
What do you think they ever found him? I mean, because he's a major pervert himself. Them girls said, those underage girls said that he, in that chauffeur, that caretaker he had, said he has three girls a day, you know, sex with three underage girls a day. Where'd they ever find him?
Well, they got him out of, and this is kind of that story of the kind of the kids that don't go to school and study hard. You're going to find that James Alefantis is like this too. He's a CIA kid. And the ones that do study go to Yale and become, you know, case officers and eventually get their own, station somewhere around the world. And they might get back to Washington as, you know, an intelligence director or a director of some other part of the agency, the science and technology part of the agency. But the ones that don't study end up setting up sex parties and stuff like that. Or showing off kids and so forth. Now, they may think, like James Alefantis and Jeffrey Epstein, like neither of them, I think, finished college. They both had really rocky college days, you know, in trouble and so forth. And everyone always says billionaire, you know, for Jeffrey Epstein. And what you're going to find is it's house money. It's CIA money. It's DynCorp money that he's playing with. They just put the billionaire label out there to give him credibility. But you're going to find he's been an employee. That's just, there's a kind of a middle layer, the kind of the dirty tricks layer of the CIA that you have to go to if you don't become like a George Bush, you know, Herbert Walker Bush, a senior agent with, you know, the high pedigree, the Yale pedigree.
Right. And now Epstein, he gets off with everything. But down there at his island, do you think that when they trafficked those kids, they tracked them from Haiti and I assume, you know, farther down in different countries too, do you think that he has them people come and look at them kids and pick them out?
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And
that's the showroom. That's definitely the showroom.
Right. All those fundraisers at Comet Pizza and stuff, and then they have those kings and stuff from other countries come.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar what they do at Comet Pizza, but I know for Epstein and so forth, he's going to get the funnel for that is through West Palm Beach. So what they do is they say, girls, come on out. It's going to be a great party. you know, all these famous people are going to be there. We'll fly out on Jeffrey's plane. The girls get to lay out in bikinis and drink all day and, you know, have all these famous people walking around. Same thing is going to be true from Paris. Paris is going to be the other funnel that flights are coming in. So Little St. James Island is the creme de la creme. It's the you know, the pick of the litter of all the girls, you know, from everywhere. Some few from Haiti, few from Colombia, but these are going to be the beauty contest winners usually that end up at Jeffrey's Island, and then it goes from there. But usually the beauty contest,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, the beauty contest thing is normally how they kind of find all the girls, and then they have these guys that are kind of like stringers or what they call finders that get them out to the island. What they don't realize is that there's all sorts of drug rape that happens on that island. And so that's what the girls don't realize. They have these really super good looking guys, and the girls think, oh, I have a chance to, you know, getting to know that guy. And then the bad stuff happens after they go to sleep.
Right, and didn't Clinton get some, wasn't there a beauty contest winner over in some country where a king was keeping her, or a prince or something was keeping her, and Clinton helped, and she said that he was sexually abusing her? Do you remember that?
Well, I think that happens. So in the Middle Eastern countries that are the closed Middle Eastern countries, UAE, Bahrain, Qatar, not as bad there, but Saudi Arabia, Yemen, so forth, you're going to find the child trafficking, like babies coming in that are going to be in nurseries in those very closed-off societies. You're going to find the little girls getting married to the sheikhs. So this isn't going to be a onesie-twosie. It's going to be all over the Middle East. And then when they get too old, you know, 13, 14, that's when they come back to the United States because they get old enough to kind of know better and fight and, you know, and claw their way out. Like that girl, I think I'm familiar with the case you're talking about. But a lot of times the girls will come back to the United States through, like Jeffrey Epstein took three girls that were 14, I think, from a Paris flight. When they got older.
Oh.
So it's almost like a farm baseball team where you have AA, AAA, you know, the big leagues, same sort of thing.
You said when they traffic them that they take the best looking ones and stuff and they get offered to the elite and then they go down from there?
Just like baseball, you know, with the farm team, you know, it's run. I think it's run exactly the same way with different franchises and trades and the whole thing. And what's funny is Lionsgate Pictures, which is run by a very close friend of Bill Clinton, Frank Giustra, who's involved in all these pay-for-play things in Clinton cash, he ends up making a movie about all these things. So Lionsgate Films, yeah, they just dropped the CIA part out of it. But like The Hunger Games, you know, is about, you know, Kathy O'Brien, you know, where they just gave her a pair of sneakers and they told her to run. She's naked and they all chase after her. You know, that's from that movie. There's another one, I can't remember the name of her, The Hostel, where men are trading pictures and if they get a new kid, they send her picture out to, like, you know, 50 brokers, and then they have an hour to bid on her, and then those brokers are, you know, then sell the girl after that to some oil sheik, you know, and it's all these things is that they actually show, it's kind of like hidden in plain sight what is actually happening. But they've gotten away with it long enough. There's been so many done on organ harvesting. I can't count all the films that they've done on organ harvesting. But there's, you know, it's a real thing. It's just like speakeasies in the 20s. If you didn't have the reporters telling you about it, you would never know that they were there. If you didn't have a press that was saying, hey, there's all these gangsters running these speakeasies and they're blowing up these bars that don't buy the alcohol from them, you wouldn't know that it was true.
Right. So now all these countries that we went to war to, they carry out these trades. It's dealing drugs, arms, well, they're after the oil pipelines, and then human trafficking, and then organ harvesting in all these countries.
Yeah, I think the ones, especially where you have UN peacekeepers, because that's right. when you can take your guys from the last peacekeeping mission and then move them to the next peacekeeping mission. And all the same, because those people are already compromised, they're much easier to work with, and they're all working in the same teams. So we have sheriffs in the United States that worked in Bosnia, then they worked in Kosovo, then they worked in Haiti, then they worked in Afghanistan, then they worked in Iraq, you know, and then now they're sheriffs in the United States, and back and forth. So that's where you have to, I mean, I focus on that, trying to pick out those patterns. Like, for instance, the Steve Feinberg, who I mentioned earlier, said to all of his DynCorp employees, if I see your picture in the paper or if I see your picture on social media, we'll kill you. The reason is they don't want anybody to be able to match those faces back to those countries where those kind of atrocious things happened.
Yeah. So you were talking on one of your videos about how many heart I think I was listening to an interview, maybe Richie Allen or something, about how many heart transplants these rich people have gotten. Did you say Cheney's had three? Or they say they have.
Who's had Cheney?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe three. I know he had some heart trouble in the mid-90s, and I think he had some bypasses already, and he finally... he goes to this heart clinic in Oklahoma City, which is, I think is where the illegal hearts have been. This doctor just died recently, but I believe he, since 1985, has been doing the trafficked hearts there. And then they picked up another doctor about 3 years later doing the livers there. And I can't remember the name of the hospital right now in Oklahoma City that. It's not the only transplant surgery center in America that's not associated with a university teaching hospital. So you could come into the hospital, kind of get dropped in, and you didn't have to go through the whole hierarchy, coming up through the ranks, sort of thing. Right. Now, he was a brilliant surgeon. The guy, and I can't remember his name, is Nazi. I can't remember his last name. But, you know, they say David Rockefeller's had eight heart transplants.
Really?
Eight, yeah. Some say seven, some say eight. There's argument. You know, people say, oh, when he went in that time, it was just complications and he had something trimmed or retied. But, yeah, eight.
What kind of hearts do they get for these people?
Very young people. You don't want an old, weak heart. You know, they want a Jamaican sprinter's heart. You know, they want somebody who's got a, you know, heart just being a muscle. It's like, you can think of it like your bicep. You can have a kind of a weak bicep, or you can have like one of these muscle men have these huge biceps. Now, you can't get too big of a heart because it wouldn't fit in the chest cavity properly. But sometimes they'll do the lungs. If it's a smoker, they'll do heart and lungs all in one go, because then you can leave the connective tissue on the heart and lungs you're taking out. It saves you some time, I think. But that heart and lung transplant's been done now several times, especially for smokers. And you have people, a different doctor also named Eric Braverman in New York, who also knows the Duchess of York, and had a foundation called the PATH Foundation, talking to elites in New York and Florida and London, obviously, about how different people died of old hearts and how different, like, for instance, they say Christopher Reeve and his wife both died of old lungs, and so-and-so died of an old heart. You can almost see them marketing. You know, John Podesta has the heart. These two doctors have already remove a heart on his wall behind his desk. I've got another picture in my videos where they're having a cake of a naked woman, and all these women are cutting the heart out of that cake in kind of a ritual. So I definitely think, you know, there's a lot of money to be made, and there's a live forever offer out there, a meme, you know, not only live forever, but live more vitally. by replacing these parts, just like you would replace parts in a car. Then the logic goes, well, if your battery went out, you wouldn't throw out the car, would you? You just replace the battery. And there's another guy, Peter Thiel. He spoke at the Republican National Convention.
Yeah.
National Convention. He's talking about blood transfusions from young people. And that's one of the things he's investing in. He's being very public about it. So this whole spare parts idea.
Blood transfusions from young people, he's investing in that? What's he investing in?
It's not only the cord blood that they get from the umbilical cords, which can be used for stem cells for if you have a blood disease or different types of disease like leukemia or whatever, but they're also talking about blood transfusions from young people to avoid Alzheimer's and multiple sclerosis and, you know, plaque-type diseases of the brain.
Or am I cut off?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Oh, there you go. Were you cut off or was I?
Yeah, I think I got cut off. I don't know what happened. But anyway, so I don't know if he's going to restart us again or if we're still going.
I think we just keep going.
Okay, cut it off later. So I think that the body becomes more valuable, and what's really changed is the body is becoming more and more valuable because of the transplantation technology is getting better and better. Used to be you could not use a dead person's heart. But now with this perfusion technology they have, they can put fluids through the heart from a dead person and restart the heart and then fly it to where it needs to go while they're monitoring the heart with a vital signs monitor while they're flying. It's called heart in a box, if you can believe that or not. And Clinton's good friends, Donna Karen, the fashion icon, she actually did an advertising campaign with a heart in a box, and it looks just like a human heart. It's exactly the same size.
Are we going to be able to stop this? I get so discouraged. I mean, it's been going on forever, but I mean, you know, it really, you know, was compromised when Bush was in office, and all this should have been investigated and stopped then. But where are we at?
Well, it's interesting. Well, I actually worked on this case in 2002 and 2003, and I actually tried to get information to Paul Rodriguez, who was at the Washington Times. He's the one who wrote the original Franklin case, where they were taking the kids from Boys Town to the White House, you know.
Right.
I had tried to, he's the one who got the information from the butler at Jeffrey Epstein's Island, originally got the diary and so forth as well. So he's been kind of following the sex trafficking thing for quite a while.
Yeah, I think that poor guy got thrown in jail for stealing that book, eh? Longer than Epstein went to jail for raping all the girls.
Yeah, and it's just funny because Paul Rodriguez died young of cancer, and I believe the butler also, his last name was Rodriguez as well. He ended up dying young of cancer.
Okay.
Like in their mid-50s, yeah.
Right.
Like Frank Church.
That's the thing. Look at all the deaths, George.
Yeah.
I mean, how many deaths has there been, just since you've been investigating this, how many deaths have occurred?
Well, there's three at WikiLeaks, and then there's three at the DNC so far. A lot of other people that have died are involved in people in, you know, for every, if you think of this like the, and I'm not trying to make light of this, but if you think of this like the car business, you have a whole supply chain of cars and parts, right, that need to go and get to the customer. And then you have a whole marketing chain of people, you know, getting them interested, you know, going to the initial seminar, then visiting the heart theater or the operating theater where they would get the heart, then talking to somebody who's had the transplant and so forth. So there's a whole marketing cycle that is involved in this. the all those activities leave footprints. Yeah, people, you know, they have to, you know, they're seen, they're taken, their pictures are taken, the times and dates are recorded. With social media now, we have so much more evidence now. The big difference between the Bush, case with the Franklin case, and then the later cases with, Epstein, is we didn't have the internet as powerful it is now, and we didn't have all this evidence that we have. That's the difference. And through open media research, it cannot help but be collapsed. It cannot help but be collapsed because there's just too much information. People have to move around in order to do these things. You have to move in order to do the sex trafficking. Now, I admit the tunnels help a lot because then you can't really see when people are moving. But that's only for Washington. All these other places have these kind of gangs that are moving these kids around. For instance, take Waco, take Branch Davidians. Everyone thinks Branch Davidians was just a religious cult. It wasn't. It was a...
Yeah, what was that about? Yeah.
Well, they had all these little girls. When a political opponent was taken out, let's say, I don't like your train company and I want to, I want to put the oil on my trains and I don't want your trains to get it. So if I kill you somehow, you hit you in a car accident or whatever, you're going to have these kids left over. Well, these kids are going to be available to the adoption system, okay, and to the foster parent system. And those, some are, some aren't, but those are the kids that end up getting, and there have been several people that have died that have talked about this, or when people break up, don't even have to kill you. They just get you to divorce, and then they have an acrimonious fight over the kids, and the kids get put into some kind of, state care. Those kids can also end up at a cult. And other times, there's been lots of cases where you've had these kids abducted. There's three or four people that work as a team. They distract the kid and get the kid, and then like Wayne Williams was a part of a four-person team. Everybody thinks he worked alone.
Is interesting. That's that guy that murdered them boys back in Atlanta, isn't it?
Yeah, but what's happening is he would grab them by the neck and press their neck on their nerve in such a way that it would cut off the... I think it somehow pressed the vagus nerve and cut off their blood supply. Everyone thinks, oh, he was just murdering them. No, those boys were being sexually molested by groups of people. And then, I believe, at the end, then they were being dumped off that bridge. But I don't believe he was just the only person with those boys and just killing them by himself. All these cases you're going to find are going to be this same situation. The one that they connected with the Podestas was the Gacy case in Chicago. You're going to find that all these abductions are going to be the Zodiac Killer in San Francisco, the L.A. Whatever he was, he's the slasher guy, the L.A. slasher guy on Skid Row. Those are all going to be either for getting organs for testing or getting organs for transplantation. Or it's going to be for a sex ring, depending on the age of the target and the, the attractiveness, for lack of a better word, of the target. All these things, and there's always these diversions. And Zodiac is a great thing because they, would put out these special codes and so forth. And people had, telescopes and looking at stars at night trying to figure out the Zodiac killer's clues, It's sort of the same thing they're doing with Pizzagate,
Well, there's my music, and that always tells me it's the end. Thank you so much, George, for coming on, and I'd like to have you on as often as possible because you are doing the best research out there, and I know you have your team of investigators, but you are doing such a good job, and I'm worried about you.
It's all in a day's work, so thank you, Evelyn.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, people, I hope you learned a lot this week. I know I sure did. George's investigation is top rank. So we'll